Yes, Surveyor was a very interesting mission. I remember when it landed, Surveyor 1 landed.
Were you at Tidnambilla at this point?
Yeah, but I was involved with the manned flight wing.
Oh,
so
okay.
I wasn't directly involved with Surveyor, but Mike Dinn was. Suddenly they had a spacecraft which had successfully landed on the moon and was champing at the bit and trying to send out telemetry signals and everything, and nobody was quite prepared for it. They hadn't really expected it, and I remember controller, I can't think of his name, but he was the DSN controller, mission specialist. He says, "We have a disastrous success." But then it started sending data, and it was incredible. One leg was cocked up a bit, but they didn't know whether the thing would even stay upright when it landed or whether it would hit a big boulder and tip over, and whether it survived or whether it would sink down into meters of dust and never be heard of from again.
It was really an amazing spacecraft, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was a very, very well-engineered machine, and it did the job it was designed for extremely well.
Mm. When you went to Tidnambilla, you went specifically to help set up the wing.
Yeah, that was my specific task, was to be the person who in charge of that and doing the interface with Station Director Honeysuckle Creek, who I reported to operationally, but management-wise I reported to Bob Leslie. There had been a bit of a war went on. Mm. When they built the manned flight wings at Goldstone in particular, in Spain, they came under the MSFN site director. Mm-hmm. Bob Leslie stood on his dignity and refused to have his site divided. Mm-hmm. He was the station director of that site, and he put his job on the line.
Yeah.
And one of the first things he said when I arrived, I was going to be sent over to Goddard to get a briefing on the manned flight wing and the schedule and everything. And one of the people Bob had particularly been at loggerheads with was Henry Thompson, who was Deputy Director of Networks. And he said, make contact with Henry Thompson and make peace. Just assure him that as far as Bob is concerned, who I work for will be totally transparent to them. Mm. I went over there, and the first night I was there, there were some other people came in for, they were going to have a conference, and we went to the employees' recreation centre for a barbecue, and I had meeting some of these people I already knew, but some I was meeting for the first time. And this big, tall Texan wandered over, and he said to me, "Who's this Englishman we've got here?" He'd been briefed that I had a bit of a thing about bombs. I said, "I beg your pardon, sir. You'll retract that statement, or I'll pour me beer in your boot." He's wearing these big Texas boots. And then I laughed and I said, "By the way, I'm Don Gray." He said, "I'm Henry Thompson." I said, "Oh my God, I've been told to make peace with you." He said, "I know that." And we became very, very good friends. And then later times, after the Apollo missions, Henry was coming out to spend a Christmas with me, going to come to our place and stay with us, he and his wife. Her name was Billy. And they were they came in through New Zealand, and they were on that flight that went down and crashed into Mount Erebus. And he was killed. And that was shattering, it really was. It's different if you know somebody involved, you know. And we'd been looking forward so much for having Henry come out. And I was going to have a party and have Bob Leslie there, introduce him to my Texan friend.
Such an awful disaster, that one, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're part of your memories, though, and I won't forget Henry, not because he died in Erebus, but because he was such a good man. Hard taskmaster, but a good man and good at his job. And a good foil for Ozzy Covington, who was the director of Networks. And Ozzy was a great big teddy bear.
Yeah.
And this other lean fellow looked as if he could have been at the gunfight at OK Corral as his offside. They were a good cop, bad cop combination of some power.
So he had a couple of years to get the wing operational, I guess?
I suppose it eventually was a couple of years, although we came up, I think from memory, roughly less than 2 years, but more than a year, sort of in that 18-month type period.
Was the building built then, the new
building was there by the time I got there, so they'd obviously planned it ahead of when I was coming. But, you know, it was a pretty simple add-on. It just copied the other piece of the building, you know. But we started then tracking various spacecraft parallel with... So sometimes they'd use our receiving equipment for whatever Ted Benbilla was up for, just for the experience, or if Ted Benbilla didn't have something on at the time, which was pretty rare, we would track whatever was there, you know, and then we were also tracking the instrumented aircraft when they brought it out, and we participated in all those work-up phases for Honeysuckle Creek at the same time, so.
I've heard talk about a door between the DSN part of the station and the MSFIN part of the station, at least at Goldstone, there was a bit of aggro. Did it happen at Ted as well?
No. And I think that was where Bob Leslie was vindicated. There was all of the resources of each side was always available to the other network. You know, we made our reputation on it. I don't think I ever had an argument with Mike Denton. He was the other deputy. He was the DSN deputy.
So you would have come to TID after Mariner 4 and all of that. That would have happened.
We'd done some Mariner 4 tracking at Woomera before I'd come across, but it was only sort of launch support phase stuff. We never got into the real mission bit. And there was a fair bit of that used to go on around the network. You would depend on, you know, what was up there, who tracked what. You know, you sort of didn't own the mission at all. You were assigned your work, and if it was within budget, you did it.
Yes.
And most of the time, even if we pushed the budget a little, we did it anyway. The general attitude of the people at Woomera and at Ted Benbilla when I got there was, do the job, argue about the detail later. But it got a bit tighter in later years when budgets got much tighter. I can remember going to budget meetings, and I remember by that time Bob Leslie was the Senior Assistant Secretary Space Projects, and he was the overall boss of our lot. But one of the NASA budget people saying, well, you know, here's the budget and here's what you're going to do. And Bob said, you can't tell us both of those things. Mm. And he said, why not? And he said, well, you tell us how much money you've got and we'll tell you what we can do for it. No. Or you tell us what you want done and we'll tell you how much it'll cost you. Yes. But you can't give us both of those things if we find they're incompatible. And, that sort of upset them no end, because apparently it was no problem for them to tell JPL that about the JPL sites, right, because JPL were contractors. Yes. But it was a bit difficult telling old country boys like Bob Leslie the same thing.
It sounds like he fought very hard to keep independence for the station.
That was right from the beginning, and right from the top of the old Department of Supply empire, that was the attitude of the senior management, that we would manage it. And that's the big argument I've got with that movie, The Dish. The filmmakers just could not get their minds around the fact that there wasn't an American out here running the tracking stations. They had to have one. Now, I realise the reason was that they also had already settled on the storyline of how the Australian country boy would rescue these Americans who didn't know how to do it properly. I liked the movie, if you want to know, but it was a good comedy. It was not a documentary. Yeah.